Good morning. So this morning we're reading from James chapter 2, verses 8 to 13. It's the last in the section on someone who will listen without judging. And this brings another different dynamic to this need of yours and mine. It's an emotional basic need. It's a basic emotional need. And it is that someone, we need someone who will listen without judging. But at the same time, other people need someone who will listen without judging. And so it becomes both a listening and a non-judgmental attitude that you need to have, right? And what you sow, you're going to reap. We know that. We know that's exactly how it works. So what we do in terms of listening, we will have other people listen to us. What we do in terms of judging others, we'll have other people do to us. Now, does it mean that the world won't judge? Of course they're going to judge. That's the world. But you won't have your brothers and sisters doing it. Not the real ones, anyway. So, and bear in mind, all of us started off trying to figure this out, right? So, certainly in my early years, I judged, but I didn't understand what I was doing. So, I was a little kid in the faith, a little toddler in the faith. I didn't know what I was doing and saying. And over time, I learned to get it right. Partly because I had really good role models in my life. And so, it's important for you to be a good role model for others, right? Which means you need to practice this. So let's start verse 8. Okay, sorry. Got to do verse 13 first. Backwards or forwards, Lord? Backwards. Okay. So judgment, what is judgment? Right. Judgment is the action of passing a sentence on you, right? So if you or I have done something, we can be judged, but the judgment will tell us what it is that in fact we are, the decision is, right? The sentence is then to say, I sentence you to a certain time in prison or whatever the case is, right? Well, we've all, the minute we were, in fact, before we were even born, the physical earth suit that we live in was sentenced to death by virtue of the fact that it came down the line of those already cursed when Adam and Eve sinned. So your earth suit's been cursed right up front, right? Doesn't matter how people have messed it up or anything since then, but it is cursed, right? However, you as a spirit, when you were first born, you were stuck inside that earth suit. So you were going with it. The purpose of the Word of God, it says there, is the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing between the soul and the spirit. The purpose of the Word of God is to actually separate out you from your earth suit so that you know the beginning and end of you and the beginning and end of your earth suit. So that when the time comes, you can actually step out of it. Because if you don't know where the end and of you and set of starts and ends, well, how are you going to step out? And we know that if you are perfected by Jesus, he will be taking you out. But there's so many things that you need to be able to do in the spiritual realm, which you need to learn to do here, right? And so this is how we grow up in these kind of these earth suits that we live in, these physical bodies and with the brain and and all of that part of you is it's like an eggshell, right? Your soul is like the yolk, etc., around you, and you are the spirit. You're the, for want of a better word, you're the chicken inside that's developing. And eventually, you will have absorbed all of your soul into yourself. So you really don't want to put junk there, because when Jesus comes along, everything that's junk is going to be destroyed, and whatever's left of you is left of you, right? So you don't want to put rubbish into that. So that's what judgment is. Judgment is that point where a person actually passes judgment on you. Right. So if we go back a little bit further, it says, "And mercy rejoiceth against judgment." What does that mean? Mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Well, mercy is a positive, beautiful attribute. So it's not mercy conquers judgment. Mercy, by its virtue of the fact that it's rejoicing and beautiful, will always destroy judgment. So if you offer somebody mercy, you can't judge them at the same time. Your mercy replaces any judgment, and it's your desire in a beautiful way, your desire to be merciful, and that mercy will rejoice against judgment, so judgment won't stand. So we go back a bit further to the beginning of verse 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath shown no mercy. Remember the sowing and the reaping? The time when you really need somebody to be merciful for you, to you, because all of us make mistakes, all of us go wrong. The time when you need somebody to be merciful to you, that's the time when you need somebody to be, that's the time when you need to have sown mercy so that you can reap it. Right? That sits in your spiritual bank account. When you need it, it's there. But it's only there because you've sown it to other people, right? And bear in mind that if you sow mercy and then you talk about it as though this was some great thing that you've done, it's not in your bank account. You've thrown it away, right? When you sow mercy, it's got nothing to do with anybody else. If somebody finds out about it, that's their business if they want to talk about it, but you don't talk about it. For he shall have judgment without mercy. In other words, there is nothing else to save you, because you're going to be judged and your judgment is going to stand. Nobody's going to be merciful to you. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath shown no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So that's the last verse, right? So let's start from the beginning. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, what is the royal law according to the scripture? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All right? Now it's really interesting, because that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you would think that that was Jesus who said it, right? Well, let's jump back to Leviticus 19, verse 18. Right? Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I, the Lord. Why is this so important? So many people think it's Jesus who made that up. No, Jesus was answering the question, which is the greatest commandment? And funnily enough, Jesus doesn't go to the Ten Commandments to tell them. He goes to Leviticus chapter 19, and there are some really interesting laws in here, right? And they basically cover the Ten Commandments, or at least, yeah, and it basically covers the Ten Commandments, right? But this is God speaking. This is the Father speaking here. Because in Leviticus, okay, Leviticus 19, let me read it. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel. By the way, that is us included, right? We are of the congregation of the children of Israel. Because that was the promise. Israel was the new name that Jacob got, right? And that was the promise. And say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, holy. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I, the Lord your God. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I, the Lord your God. And if ye offer sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. It shall be eaten the same day ye offer it, and on the morrow, and if aught remain until the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire. And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it abominable, it shall not be accepted. Therefore, that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Why was it so important that they shouldn't eat things that had been around for 3 days? Well, number one, physically they would go off. Number two, they would be teaching the people around them to go and do that. And God is saying, don't. Now, today we've got refrigerators that can keep things cool for longer than that period of time. Right? But God is saying, don't do that. Clearly, He knows our bodies better than we do, right? And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. What does that mean? You see, you're supposed to go through your field once and harvest. Anything that falls on the ground or doesn't get caught the first time you go through, you don't go back and collect that which fell. You leave that, right? Same thing with the corners of your field, right? Don't harvest the corners of your field. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather grape of thy vineyard. It's talking about every grape, right? Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I, the Lord your God. Ye shalt not steal. Sorry. Let me just read that again. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather grape of the vineyard. Now, this word grape, right? They've got an italics here, every grape, right? That's not what it says here. Neither shalt thou gather grape of thy vineyard. If it was, you mustn't gather bunches of grapes, all right? Then it would have said bunches of grapes. But when it says thou gather grape singular of the vineyard, it means if something falls off that bunch or whatever, you leave it on the floor, all right? Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I, the Lord your God. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I, the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God, I the Lord. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honour the person of the mighty. In righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbour. And what does it mean by judge here? It's not judge as in you're going to judge him as in you're bad or whatever the case is. No, this is about helping him, coming alongside him, providing insight and guidance, etc. Right? Thou shalt not go up and down a talebearer among thy people. This is a gossiper. Don't do that. Right? Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. Right? In other words, if your neighbor is being accused of something, don't get involved in actually accusing them. I, the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. What does that mean? If you see somebody that's doing something and you know that that's wrong, tell them that it's wrong because they might think they're okay doing it. And if they don't, if nobody tells them, they could go off and do these things and get really hurt. And then they can have this sin on them. So do not allow people to walk around a sin that they don't know that they're doing sinful. Once you've told them and they choose to ignore you, well, that's different, right? That's on them. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, I the Lord. Ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Boy, are we messing up on this one. All of this GMO'd everything, all of this DNA stuff that we're doing, all of this sort of thing. All right? Mixing and creating different kinds of creatures and all that. God says, don't do this. Because we actually don't have a clue what we're doing. Neither, by the way, do the fallen angels. They create things that cause all sorts of havoc. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. So you're not going to sow one type of thing plus another thing at the same time. Because actually they draw different kinds of pests. They draw kinds of different kinds of diseases. They draw different kinds of ways of growing. And that can be harmful. So you just don't mingle them. You grow one thing on that field. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. This was an absolutely fascinating discovery for me. I can't remember which polarity it is, right? But wool has a frequency. I think it's a frequency, I can't remember. Of 5,000. I'm going to lie to you. You can look it up. I'm sure it's frequency. It's 5,000, I think it's microhertz or something to that effect. But that's positive, right? Wool, so linen has the one polarity, and wool has the opposite. And what is really interesting is that if you put wool and linen on you, you cancel out the protection, the magnetic protection. Or the resonance protection around you. You cancel it out. You're fully exposed to whatever. So you shouldn't put like a cotton shirt and then a jersey on. That doesn't, it sounds crazy, but in fact that's the reality. Because you're canceling those things out, right? That was an interesting discovery. Anyway, that's for you. You guys can go and do further research on it. And then it goes into... okay, I need to read this to you. And whosoever lieth carnally with a woman that a bondmaid betrothed to her husband and not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged, they shall not be put to death because she was not free. All right. Now, we don't have slavery in most places, so this wouldn't apply. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, a ram of the trespass offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering before the Lord for his sin which he hath done, and the sin which he hath done shall be forgiven him. So when I ask the Lord, so how do we do this nowadays, and what does this mean? Remember Jesus said, talking about committing adultery in your heart, right? He said, you've heard it that do not commit adultery. And he said, a person who simply looks at somebody lustfully has committed adultery in his heart. This applies to that too, right? She's not going to get into trouble because she was innocent. Spiritually, she was innocent. The person, the perpetrator of the lustful thoughts, is the one who actually has to come and say sorry to the Lord. And who paid for it? A ram, a trespass offering. Who is the ram? Right? It's Jesus. Jesus paid this price. That's why you need to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, you know what? That lustful thought was really wrong. I'm sorry. If you did something at the same time, you really got to say sorry. And you've got to make a plan not to do that again. When I say do that, I'm talking about doing something on your own, in your mind. I'm not talking about anything you did physically. If it's something physically, you really do have to go to the Lord. And then whatever the situation is, the Lord will take care of it. And if there's punishment, then there's punishment, right? You are in the world, you're not of the world. And when ye shall come into the land, and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised 3 years. In other words, for 3 years it'll create fruit. You let that fruit fall to the ground. You don't eat it, right? So for 3 years you don't touch it. Unto you. It shall not be eaten of, but the 4th year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise the Lord with. So you still can't eat it, but you can give it to the church, right? And in the 5th year shall ye eat of the fruit thereof, that it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I, the Lord your God. What I find so amazing is that this practice makes sure there's no worms and none of the other things. When you harvest too early, the ground doesn't get the nutrition it needs to. It doesn't prepare the ground for a healthy tree. And when you take the fruit from the 4th year and give it to the church, you provide a spiritual blessing over that tree. And then God steps in. You shall not eat with the blood. So if something's got blood in it, you don't eat that with the blood. You drain the blood out, right? Neither shall ye use enchantment nor observe times. Ye shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. This is really interesting, right? What do? We have to cut our hair in certain ways, etc. If you look in nature and you look at a tree and all that, we're the ones that cut the tree into a shape. But God grows that tree in the most amazing ways. He does the same thing with hair. Right, and does the same thing with beards, but Satan absolutely hates that, because we do not. And you do a study on hair and beards throughout the Bible; they are so spiritual. They are so spiritual, and it's almost like they're mini antenna kind of things, if you want to put it that way, in terms of connections to the spiritual realm. So you don't want to go cutting that stuff. Then it says here, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. You know that's something that they used to do. If somebody died, they would cut them or self or something to that effect, as though this is a reminder. I've got the scar as a reminder of that person. Well, what you do at that point is that you actually lock yourself to that event. Instead of being free, you're not tied to that event. You're tied spiritually to the death of that person. Instead of trying being tied to the life of that person, you're tied to the death of that person. And that is a darkness that will be with you. Now, how do you fix that? You go to the Lord and you say, "Lord, I'm sorry, I did not know this. I did not realize what I was doing. Please forgive me and please just take the curse away from me." Right? "Nor print any marks upon you. I, the Lord." If God is your Lord, right? "You will not print any marks upon you." What is that print any marks upon you? It's all these tattoos. People do not understand what a tattoo really is. The spiritual world loves tattoos. Why? Because spirits identify with insignia. And if there's an insignia on a wall, they're entitled to go to that wall. If there's an insignia on a person, they're entitled to that person. That's it's a residential address. And when these things actually eventually get released, well, where are they going? They're going to the insignia that are there. Because who put it there? You did. You agreed to have it there. If you never agreed to have it there, then go and say, "Please just take this thing off me." You know, I often say to people, if you had the courage to put it on you, surely you've got the courage to take it off. You know? And yes, it's painful. Absolutely, it's painful. But if you went and put some kind of painting or whatever on the wall of a church building, surely you would be demanded to actually go and clean it up. Well, it's the same thing. The body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not yours. If you tie yourself spiritually to your body, you cannot leave your body. If you tie yourself spiritually to your body, you cannot leave it. Now, there are many people who've given their hearts to Jesus. They don't want to give their bodies to Jesus. No. Their body's got to have fun in this world and all the rest of it. No, their body is theirs. Jesus can have their heart, but Jesus can't have their body. No, that's not how it works. You give yourself to Jesus, you give all of yourself to Jesus, and you say, "Jesus, what do I do about this?" One of the best testimonies is a half taken off piece of tattoo, and people say, "What's going on with this tattoo on your arm?" "Oh no, I'm busy taking it off." "Why are you taking it off?" "Well, because it's not my body. I live in it. It's not mine. It's not my earth suit. I'm giving it back to God." That's a message nobody wants to hear. Nevertheless, that's what it says. "Nor print any marks upon you." Now, the interesting thing about this, people say, "Oh no, it's for the cuttings of the dead." No. At least it's only printing marks upon you for the dead. No, that's not what it says. "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, comma, nor print any marks upon you." It says nothing about the dead. You can't print any marks upon you, full stop. It's not your body. "Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land be fall to whoredom, and the land become full of wickedness. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, I the Lord. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards." Right? You know how much of this is going on? Familiar spirits and wizards. God is saying, "I'm going to destroy these people, these evil things. Have nothing to do with them." It says, "Regard not them that have familiar spirits." So somebody comes along and they've got a familiar spirit. They tell you what your uncle said or whatever the case is. That's a familiar spirit. Do not listen to them. Reject them. It's a demonic spirit. "Neither seek after wizards." Don't look after, look to have wizards and give you insight and guidance and all the rest of it. Now, you've got to be careful with this word wizards. This world has become so dark, that there are so many different kinds of magical practices. And the movies are full of wizardry. and all this stuff. Any magic practice, you want nothing to do with it. You know, I used to be tempted to watch movies on magic and all the rest of it. I've become so realizing how dark that really is and how people are being sucked into it. I want nothing to do with that. Neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. This is really important. When you start looking for wizards, your earth suit gets attached to them. You become defiled by them. The evil that they do is going to rub off on you. I, the Lord your God, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. Hoary head, that's like a bearded man and whatever. So, and then it carries on, and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. This honoring of parents and elders is gone today. Yet Jesus says that's what you will do. You will rise up before them. You'll stand in their presence. You will not just stay seated. I'm aware that some cultures actually say that you should. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. So if there's a stranger, so what do they call him? Immigrant, right? If an immigrant is in your land, you will not give him a hard time, right? You will not mistreat him. You will not make him feel uncomfortable. The stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. Right? So, this is why Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan too. Because the Samaritans were Jews, but they weren't the same lineage as the normal Jews, right? Dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. And that goes for all immigrants. Everybody is entitled to life. If a person is breathing, God is allowing it. We have no rights to change that. Doesn't mean invite them into your house, by the way. There's a difference. It means don't go out there and make their lives miserable. Because you will be sowing things, and God will certainly turn that back on you. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt, I, the Lord your God. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in michad, in weight, or in measure. What's this judgment? This is when you are like pricing things or measuring things to be able to buy or sell them, or the way you do your calculations, or the way you give credits or debits, or the way you roll things up or give pardoning and preference to certain things. All of that is unrighteousness and judgment, right? In michad, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, just ephah, and just hin shall ye have. What does that mean by just? It means it's trustworthy. Your measurements, your calculations, the way you deal with things, that needs to be trustworthy. I, the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, therefore shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, I, the Lord. That was Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 18 speaks to a lot of bodily fluids and bodily other goodies. Read it, but read it with the saying, let the genders read together. So the women can read together and the men can read together. Don't mix that one. That can become very uncomfortable. Nevertheless, it's really important. So we get back to James chapter 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin. Well, we know that, we've just read that, right? But if you have respect to persons, in other words, you will choose, you'll prefer one person over another. Instead of treating everybody equally, you will prefer one over another. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So the law then says, you are a sinner. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one, he is guilty of all. Because there is only one penalty, right? You break one commandment, the penalty is death. It's death. It's eternal separation from God. That for you sin once. Adam only committed one sin. He was eternally separated from God. You commit one sin, you're eternally separated from God. And the only place that anything that can go that's eternally separated from God when it leaves this planet is hell. That's the only place, because that's the only place that God doesn't exist. God exists everywhere excepting in hell. So if you can't go to be with God, you have to go to hell. It's your choice. You choose. It's not God sending you there. It's your own choice. He'll let you go wherever you choose to go. And Christians really should tell people what it says here. Which is why when Jesus paid for us, he paid for each and every single one of us. Every single one of us deserves nothing but hell. Jesus loves us so much that he paid and he carried that. But it's a wrapped up present. He's given it, he's got it there with him. All right? Got it there with him. You have to go to him and say, thank you so much. I believe you've died for me, and I'm asking you, please, can I have my forgiveness? And he will say, have you forgiven everybody yourself? And if you have, he'll give you that gift and you can unwrap it. And then, of course, be careful, because you've got to keep forgiving everybody else. Otherwise, he'll come get it from you, right? It's a conditional gift. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do. As they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that has shown no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. All of those laws that we read about, all of them, there's no ways that if you look back in your past, you've never committed any of those wrong. Even if you never commit another wrong thing going forward, and you say, well, I'm now perfect because I keep all of those things, all right? You can't erase your past, yet your past actually stands against you. You need to show mercy in every situation that you can gain mercy, right? Because everyone's going to slip up, everyone's going to make mistakes, and everybody needs to have that opportunity to get mercy in a tight spot. Jesus died so that you could be forgiven by God, not so that you could be forgiven by mankind. You sow, you reap, you're going to pay for it here, right? Unless you've also been sowing mercy, in which case you will be able to reap mercy. Because what you sow, you reap. So how does this work with someone who will listen without judging? You need somebody in your life that will listen to you without judging. And you know that you found that person when you see them having mercy on other people. Not judging them, but having mercy on them. Then you know you found a person who you can listen to and who won't, who will listen and will not judge you. If you cannot see that they show mercy to another, then you know that person cannot listen without judging you. But the same is true the other way around. If you do not show mercy to other people will recognize that you will judge them. And then you will not be able to be this for someone else. You will not be someone who will listen without judging to another if you can't have mercy on other people. Well, guys, God bless and have an absolutely beautiful day.